Welcome to BlindBargains.com coverage of CSUN 2016. From braille displays to video magnifiers, we're bringing you the dish on the hottest new products, apps, and more. Brought to you by the American Foundation for the Blind.
Are you a professional working in the vision loss field? AFB's e-learning center has the tools and resources to support you. Learn about technology, eye conditions, aging, and more 24/7 wherever you are through AFB's webinars and online courses. Earn credits and enhance your knowledge by visiting www.afb.org/e-learning.
Now, here's JJ Meadow.
Sounds a little bit different here at CSUN 2016. We're over next door in the headquarters building, but we're actually outside with a candid little chat with some people from Google to talk about TalkBack and play music and some other things. So I'll let you guys introduce yourselves and welcome to the podcast. Let's start over here with Victor.
Hi, my name is Victor Tsaran, to be more exact. I work on various accessibility initiatives at Google. One of them is being TalkBack screen reader for Android.
All right, next to you.
My name is Christopher Patno. I am the lead program manager for Google Play Music, and I am the co-lead of accessibility for Google Play.
All right, and finally?
My name is Carol Karan, and I am accessibility program manager for Google Play and partner in crime with Chris.
Cool. So I'm going to start with what I know, and then we'll go from there. I actually attended a couple days ago a session on the next version of TalkBack, and there's been a lot of pretty major changes with TalkBack lately. So Victor, why don't you fill us in on where we're at and what's coming in the future?
Sure, so I'll quickly summarize. So TalkBack 4.5, which is the version you were referring to, is scheduled to go into beta cycle probably in a week or two. We don't want to commit to the date because, you know, the minute you commit to a date, something's going to happen.
Yep.
So it's coming pretty soon, but we thought CSUN was a great place, great avenue for announcing some of the features, and those are we're introducing the new tutorial. It may seem insignificant, but it is significant because a lot of educators as well as users were asking us for a more streamlined way to learn about various TalkBack features. And so the tutorial is going to be, it looks much nicer because it's actually been touched by visual designers, but it also has some important pieces to allow users to learn how to swipe linearly, how to touch explore, how to scroll, how to edit, and all these little things. So the second feature we're introducing is the enhanced keyboard support. And TalkBack users may remember that in order to browse by character or by word or by line, you had to switch between various navigation settings, and it was kind of cumbersome a little bit. So we've introduced a new keyboard key map, which has a lot of dedicated shortcut keys for moving by character, by word, and so on and so forth, just like you would expect from any screen reader.
And these are all customizable because the previous version of TalkBack, you made it so you could change any of the keyboard shortcuts.
Right, so they will be customizable, but if people don't feel comfortable moving into the new sort of keyboard, key map, they can still use the classic one. It will be available for those people who prefer to use what currently exists for TalkBack. And the last feature that we announced is the new completely revamped web support, which means if you're using Chrome browser or TalkBack, you'll get a feedback about pretty much every element on the page. Headings, links, form fields, buttons, tables, and all that good stuff. And you will be able to navigate by headings and links and what we call controls. Controls will include things like form fields, buttons, various combo boxes and
sure.
things like that. But if you're using keyboard, then you will also get dedicated keyboard shortcut keys by that allow you to navigate by lists and images and. Basically, again, we've tried to get as close as possible to the mature screen reader experience on the web.
So you mentioned the navigating by controls or headings using the touch screen. Will you be able to at some point, or can you control which items are in that list of granularity?
So at this point, we decided to keep it to the minimum because as you may remember, in order to switch granularities, or as we call them now, navigation settings,
right.
You have to swipe up or down. So if you can imagine, if you put too many options into that feature, then it's just going to become too cumbersome. So we thought, for the time being, just to keep headings as one thing, links. So we just give people the most essential elements to navigate by But if the users will desire, then eventually we may introduce more sort of granularity.
So the keyboard shortcuts go in that rather, that lets you do more types of granularity.
Absolutely.
Or navigation. And are they similar to the ones you'd find on Chrome or
ChromeVox? Yes.
ChromeVox.
So we try to imitate a lot of the shortcuts we took from ChromeVox. So if you're using keyboard, you will be able to have as much speech as you can. But yes, it will announce the level of the heading. It will announce, you know, all the things that you would expect from the browser, Chrome or Safari or Firefox. Or
so a lot of that's been added in. Table navigation, is there ways to get around tables?
There will be. You will have to. Currently, this is not under navigation settings, but it will be under local context menus called special content.
Yep.
For lack of a better term, this may change in the next versions. I can't guarantee anything right now, but we're looking certainly. For this version, we really wanted to address the most painful points.
Right.
And we feel like users really want to browse by headings, links, and controls. This was like the biggest request we get from people. But also one thing that you will notice, the big change, is that when you are entering the table, TalkBack will announce the size of the table, and as you move through the table, you will hear information such as column number and row number and, you know, things like that. So that enhanced support for tables will exist as well in TalkBack 4.5.
What about some of the ARIA elements? One of the things I noticed in the past is expanded collapse state, for instance, was an example of something that wasn't being spoken in the current version of Chrome.
Yeah, so most ARIA stuff will be spoken. If my memory serves me right, I think we did manage to get the expanded collapse state into this release, but this is certainly coming. This is a very simple change. It just didn't make
right.
it into this.
So there's a couple pieces of this. So not only is this coming to the next version of TalkBack 4.5, which is coming soon, it's tied to the next version of Chrome as well, right?
That's right. So you will need to use Chrome 50, which is already in beta. So once TalkBack comes out, the users can basically go to the App Store, download the Chrome beta, and they'll be able to try out those features as soon as TalkBack.
What about the Android WebView component for other apps that are using the web? Is that updated?
Yes, the good news there is that everything that people will experience in Chrome will be inherited by any application that's using WebView.
How?
So all the same stuff, headings, you know, sure. Everything, you know, even including the navigation settings.
How far down in Android will this trickle down? Is this going to be with Android 6 or will it work for earlier ones?
It'll go all the way back to Jelly Bean. So we've tried to keep it as backward compatible as possible. So you won't need to necessarily use the latest version of Android to take
yep.
advantage of
that. We talk about this a lot on our podcast too. I mean, it's one of the big distinctions of Android is it's not just the Android OS system update. Sure, there might be sometimes devices that don't get all the latest versions, but a lot of things are trickling back to devices that are 2, 3, 4 years old. So this is TalkBack 4.5, and it's coming in a public beta soon and then be released?
That's right. So the public beta, you know, when it is released, we usually make announcements on the ICE-free Google group.
Yep.
And I think this is spelled as ICE, as an EYES-free. If you search Google groups for that, you inevitably will find it. We will be making an announcement. I'm probably not going to say anything on this podcast simply because there's like a long link that you have to go to. So if people are interested to join the beta, I would suggest join the group and then you will get announcements from them.
No, if anyone knows that list, that's one of those very high traffic lists. But what's the best way for people to give either report bugs or get new features? What's the most streamlined approach for you?
Right, so the best approach, so when you go into TalkBack settings, in the right corner there is a button called More Options. And if you click on that, there is a feedback link. And if you submit through that feedback form, it goes straight to us. So this is probably the best way we want to encourage users to send, because we do have a streamlined process for that. Anything else, we are listening in on ICE-free list. This is not the way to submit bugs. I would not encourage people to submit bugs, but anything like, you know, anything that maybe people want to express their gratitude for the great work we're doing or express their wishes.
Right.
We are looking at ICE-free list, and it's perfectly fine to have discussion there. I'm personally actually monitoring the list, so you know I'm trying to respond the best I can. So these are probably two best sources or places where people can go submit their feedback to us.
Let's talk a little bit about Android N, whatever N stands for. Geez.
Not gonna tell you.
Not. N for not.
Exactly, for not. Yeah, we don't honestly even know. And if I did know, we wouldn't.
You
would
tell us. But you did demonstrate a couple accessibility features in N, I guess, starting with the setup screen and a couple others.
Right. So I think one of the big changes that happens in N is that we're introducing right on the welcome screen when you start your phone for the first time. There will be a flashing icon at the bottom of the screen that invites you, you know, to set up your phone, and that icon represents vision settings. So as a person who has some vision or needs some kind of visual adjustment to the interface, you will be able to go into vision settings and you can change the display size, you can modify the magnification gestures or change fonts and so on and so forth. And of course, for TalkBack users, we still have that gesture of, you know, two fingers, hold two fingers on the screen until TalkBack starts, so that's still available. But now we're just making accessibility settings prominent on the welcome screen.
So TalkBack is the one that will still have the gesture specifically.
Right, there's going to be a gesture that users will still have to know.
Right.
There will be a TalkBack icon as well in vision settings, so if somebody who can see a little bit, if they can see that icon, they will be able to tap it and the TalkBack will launch as well.
Now, I've had problems sometimes with setup. If I somehow get past that first setup screen, I'm not able to turn on TalkBack. Is there a way around that? Are you looking at making that the accessibility gesture so it's going to be more prominent, or other ways to do it? Or
This is a very good question to which I have no answer.
Okay, sure.
I have not tried. I think... Yeah, I'm aware of welcome screen. I know for sure that works.
Okay, awesome. And then also in Android N, is there any other, there's some new magnification features as well?
Yes, well, so there is going to be one of the big things is the display size feature, which basically will scale the interface up or down depending on the user choice. Basically, it's using the pixel density to, make basically the elements either larger or smaller, and they will scale. So it's not just like your typical magnification where you just scroll with your finger and then only the element under your finger becomes bigger or larger, but it's actually the whole interface can be scaled up or down. And then there's mono audio for people with hearing impairments. So, you know, if you can only hear in one ear or you have like a dominant ear, you can take the stereo output and you can convert it into mono, and this way you'll be able to listen to the output with just one ear. You're not going to miss anything.
What's the status of BrailleBack? There was one update last December, and I'm not even sure if that's directly in your area or not.
Yeah, so BrailleBack, there will be an update that we will announce soon that will include some features that were requested by the users, but I guess maybe we should probably wait until that announcement actually happens. But I can only say that we are, working on BrailleBack. It's still very much a, product in progress. And BrailleBack is now open source. It's at github.com/google/BrailleBack. So, anybody can really go in and play with the code and suggest features and so on and so forth.
Have you had many discussions with, there's at least three different Android-based note takers that have been announced here at CSUN. How does that mesh in with everything that's current with Android? At least a couple of them are running Play Store and everything else.
Yeah, so from the information I have is that they have gone in and modified the Android. So it's not really the kind of Android you get from Google. It's some kind of their own version, and they took the popular programs, the Keysoft package, for example, and they wrote it for Android.
Yeah, everyone. Yep.
That's basically the interface people will be working with. As to compatibility with, let's say, TalkBack, I'm not aware.
It's on them.
Yeah.
For sure. Okay, let's go around the table here and talk a little bit about Google Play and Google Play Music, some of the new features there. I'm not sure which one of you two wants to speak to this, but...
Let's start with the website, because we also have app. So website would be music.google.com. And one thing we did is we introduced headings, because it has a lot of sections. So now it's really easy to just move from heading to heading, with your standard shortcut keys. And so even though the website might look complex, headings make it really easy to explore different sections, such as recently played radio stations and different situations and other things. So now it's easy to navigate with headings. And also, we added a whole bunch of shortcut keys. And actually, if you come to the website with a screen reader, you'll hear the announcement, press question mark for a list of shortcut keys. And so it's not like you have to memorize this or anything.
Which is a pretty standard thing across a lot of Google apps. That's like you can do that and kind of bring up that keyboard shortcut
Exactly. So we're trying to keep up with the standards here. And,
sure.
But we also wanted to disclose for the people who don't know about that, that this is here and it's a place for you to go to. So we actually announce this as part when the page loads, we announce it, letting people know in case they didn't, because many people don't know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Is it like a lot of the other Google apps, you have to turn on a special screen reader mode to get the keyboard shortcuts and things, or?
I don't think you need to turn anything on. It's being announced as you go to music.google.com. And of course, if you use Windows, you have to, press the virtual buffer off, right? That's something that screen reader users will be familiar with.
For sure.
So we introduced a lot of cool shortcut keys. Like the coolest ones would be spacebar to play and pause music, GA to go to artists page in your library, G then B to go to albums page. I think those are the ones that come. Oh, and M for the navigation menu that has many other options. So, yeah, those would be the most important ones. And like you said,
for those people who are not familiar, there's a pay version, and you get some things for free as well, right? It's not something you have to subscribe to get all of them.
Google Play Music has always had a free ability for you to upload your music. So if you have music that you own, you can upload or double stream it to you for free. In the U.S., we launched a free radio service, which is ad-supported. And we look forward to being able to roll that out worldwide. But right now, the free service is U.S. only.
Sure. So you mentioned the web app, and there's also mobile apps for Android and that other platform.
Yes, we have iOS and iOS and Android. They are both very accessible. In fact, for iOS, we just introduced custom actions, thereby reducing the number of swipes by half. Because what we used to have was the interface where you'd hear name of the radio station followed by the next swipe, which would announce more options button. Now, instead of more options button, basically you just hear the message that says has custom options, and then you swipe up or down to choose more options, and so it's just much less swiping now.
What happens on Android then? I guess you could do the custom actions in the local context menu, but there isn't.
Yeah, it's getting there. Yeah, well, we're definitely considering different options there, and thinking of how to make the experience similar. I can't talk to the specifics, but we are definitely thinking of making it user friendly. As of now, I'm happy to say that our Android Music app is very accessible. But we are definitely working on ways of making it, more usable and just faster to use.
You also do a lot of other things with the Play Store.
Yes. So in fact, in Play Store, we recently launched a new category. It's called Inclusive Apps and Games. And so it includes accessible games. I don't know if I can mention some names here or would it go against... But anyway, some accessible games.
We don't care.
But the lawyers might. So that's
yeah, okay. And so they would be accessible to people who use screen readers. But then there are other products in that category that would be designed for people who have autism or other special needs.
Okay.
And so this is the category that comes and goes, as all the categories in Play Store do. They come and go. On some semi-regular basis, depending on how many users use the particular category, and also if there is some kind of holiday, like right now, we are about to celebrate Easter, so that means that category is overwriting a lot of other categories that are normally in the web store. Play Store. But once Easter is over, then many of the categories are going to be back. So hopefully, this one will be available as well. And so the more users are using this particular category, the longer it's going to stay in Play Store. So it's kind of a call to the users to basically use it as much as possible. And also, if I may add, it would be wonderful to get feedback from users. We would love to create more categories with accessibility in mind, so that Play Store always has at least one accessible category.
Would you prefer it to be like more like type of app focused versus a certain disability?
So I'm trying to not categorize people by disabilities. Mm-hmm. So that's why I gave it much thought, and I was just thinking, like, I wouldn't want to be labeled in that way myself.
Maybe you wouldn't call it perhaps blindness apps, but you might have a category of apps that,
exactly,
that utilize TTS.
Yes. We might absolutely do that. So what categories would people like to have? That's something we would just love to hear feedback. User feedback would be really, really helpful, because then we can bring it back to Play Store, and I can't promise that all of the things that users will propose that they will get into Play Store, but we can at least try to use our negotiating power and see what we can do. We'll do our best.
You involved with the web version of that as well? That's another one that didn't have a lot of headings in the past and things like that.
For the Play Store?
Yeah.
I think it definitely has headings right now. The website was redesigned maybe like 2 months ago,
okay,
or a month ago, so it's definitely way better than...
Everything's always changing. You never keep up with everything.
Well, it's work in progress, as they say, right?
Yeah, you never
it's keep life,
up with
it. So
just like life.
Yeah, I was just saying that. So that, and also, if I can just come back to music for 1 minute, we also are going to introduce podcasts very soon. So just wanted people to be aware that music is going to be more than music content.
You can't mention it, but I can mention we've already registered us, so we will definitely be there.
awesome.
So just looking at the music and Play Store, there's a lot of different parts of Play. Just briefly, there was also some announcements of Newsstand. Are you guys talking about that a little
bit? Yeah, so Newsstand actually, right now, it's available as an iOS app and as Android app. Both are very accessible also. And
are all the papers, or are some graphic and
no,
some...
No, so you see, so papers, so the content doesn't really depend on us. It's mm-hmm. basically fed into Newsstand app, so whatever publishers give us, in fact, we have no right to change that. So there's only so much we can do.
Is there an indication that when I'm browsing of which ones are going to work for me, or how do I...
I think you'll just get some kind of message once you open something that you can't read.
Yeah, I guess you can do a free trial, so you're not stuck buying it.
No, absolutely. You always can open an article for free if you open it for the first time, I believe. So no, you totally don't have to buy anything. It's just that, it totally depends on the publisher, whether the content is accessible or not. So I can only speak as far as... You know, the accessibility of Newsstand app is concerned, but definitely I have no control over content.
Do you have other guidelines for publishers of, like, this is what you need to do to make sure your news content...
Not at this point. No, we don't enforce anything on publishers at this point, but it's definitely something we can consider in the future, depending on feedback.
Okay. You mentioned feedback. What is, there's a million different... Victor did mention a little bit on Android and TalkBack specifically, but he probably doesn't want every single Google question ever.
I don't
or
mind
maybe
if
he does.
I wouldn't mind if anything that people have to say about, Play goes to Victor. Hey.
No worries. I think every, in fact, if I may just chime in, so every Google app under more options menu, which is in the right top corner of the app, every Google app, it has, or maybe actually sometimes it's in navigation.
Actually, we
drawer.
Have it in navigation drawer
so
in our apps.
Help,
yeah,
there's a help and feedback.
Help and feedback, absolutely. And so you just navigate there, and there is an accessibility.
And I know there's probably some variants, but if you tag it as accessibility or whatever, and you're doing that post, will it get past a level one customer service person? Like,
yeah,
okay,
we definitely educate customer service that when accessibility questions come in, that they should be forwarded. So far I have not heard of cases where, people would complain that certain feedback didn't get to Google.
Sure.
We definitely make sure that the customer service is aware that feedback will be coming in and they should monitor for this.
You guys may not know the answer to this, but is there, any consideration? Some companies have had a lot of success with their, like a phone accessibility line where you can call in and get help on things. Or are you focusing more like on the web-based tutorials and help and YouTube and that type of stuff? Or...
Yeah, I don't think we have a phone line at this point, but, we try. Our goal is to always make apps and websites as mainstream as we can so that we can, as much as possible, avoid, custom shortcuts or custom actions, in a sense that, or, unexpected gestures, things that people would not know how to use. So as much as possible, we just try to stick to the mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully this way make it as easy as possible for users to.
Well, there are definitely, again, as I mentioned, navigation drawer, there's usually a help link and it will take you straight to the help pages for that particular product, you know, be it music or be it even in TalkBack. You know, if you go under TalkBack settings, you click on more options, you click on help, and it's going to take you straight to TalkBack help. So we try to usually keep those things, you know, in parity so that the user doesn't have to go to help.google.com or whatever and search for something. If you're using the app, you're only like a few taps away from getting to the help for that particular product.
Anything else on the horizon, accessibility-wise, that was announced at CSUN? I know there was a lot of different things going on, and you guys aren't involved. There are lots of, I can't even put a number on how many Google accessibility people there are now.
Yeah, there's many.
We are definitely growing.
You know anything about that? Yeah, there was an app accessibility checker of some sort. Did you guys follow that?
Yes,
Accessibility scanner.
Something called accessibility scanner, and that's probably a separate conversation, but essentially it's a service that allows developer or somebody who wants to work on accessibility to quickly sort of get an idea of how well their app does in terms of accessibility. This is not to be seen as like way of Google, of Google trying to suggest like, hey, you're accessible or not. We're just trying to help out developers who, for example, may never dealt with accessibility, and they just want to see, you know, are they going in the right direction and maybe learn something along the way. So I would think of it more as an like educational tool.
Sure.
But yeah, this accessibility scanner, it's already available in the Play Store for everybody.
4.8 stars already.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, 4.8 stars.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's got some really good reviews.
Awesome.
Already.
There we go. If people want to get more information about Google accessibility, kind of keep up on the general, you know, aspects of things, or like, what's the best way to keep up?
There's just so many best ways.
Okay, you don't have to pick one. You can certainly give more than one.
Well, so, you know, first of all, there are Google groups, right? There's a group called Accessible, and a number of Google engineers are monitoring that group. It's definitely one of the feedback channels.
That's the general, right, for anything Google
Anything Google related, you have questions about Docs, YouTube, or be it Chrome.
Surprisingly low traffic as far, you know,
yeah,
I think it's just not very well known.
And maybe that's why we need to be asking this question more often, right? The one you just asked, because maybe not enough people know about these things. But yes, you join the Accessible Google group. If you specifically about TalkBack, you know, I mentioned before, it's ice-free.
Yep.
And then there's feedback channels, but I would say feedback channels is more like for feature suggestions and or bug reports. But if you want to, you know, ask a question like, hey, you know, I tried to use this app and something is not working the way it should, I would probably start with Accessible Google group. And then hopefully the users will be redirected.
As opposed to the for instance, the Google Access Twitter, which is mostly an announcement only thing. It's not, I don't see it being used for more of a back and forth. It's more of an announcement.
This is the way it's used right now. And, you know, we may decide to change that. But for right now, we use this mostly for announcing things. So if people want to keep up with what Google is doing, then that's certainly a great place to start. But if people want to sort of get into some kind of discussion or get some opinion or get some answer, then those above mentioned, you know, probably would be better.
Well, thanks everyone for your time. It's great to have all of you on the podcast. It's really exciting, and we'll definitely keep up to date. And I know we'll be doing more Google with I.O. in May.
Sounds good.
See you then.
Thank you so much.
For more exclusive audio coverage, visit blindbargains.com or download the Blind Bargains app for your iOS or Android device. Blind Bargains audio coverage is presented by the AT Guys. Online at atguys.com.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2016.